This is Crosswalk Talk with Carlotta Waldman. Carlotta is the founder of Crosswalk Life Ministries, an ordained minister of counseling, registered nurse, and Bible college educator. I'm Dan Baker, and welcome to this edition of our broadcast. Crosswalk Talk is a weekly Christian talk show all about knowing and experiencing God in our lives. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross and made it possible for us to walk the walk. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your show, your opportunity to share true stories of healing, miracles, provision, and God intervening in the lives of people today. And now, here's Carlotta.
Well, thank you, Dan. And welcome to everybody. I was wondering if this time change would work for you. And, of course, we wanted to be able to include people from the other side of the world where a time change might help. And it is working. I saw that over 600 people listened yesterday alone. And that's just the downloads. No telling actually how many people listened. So thank you. I'm glad you're downloading it. I hope you're sharing this with other people, because this is one of the many ways that we can reach the world, is by sharing with them on the Internet. And there are many people out there that are looking for a place to be fed, are looking for something besides the same old, or dry, dead religion. They are looking, guys, they are hungry. They are really maybe not saying much, but they are really looking. And so I hope that you will, share this. How much, effort does it take to click the share button? And you can do that after the program is over. A lot of people don't know that you can access any of these programs, and we've got archives since 2009. They can access them anytime from anywhere and with anyone. You can share it with other people. Today is a very, very useful program. Even the introduction of this will answer a lot of questions for a lot of people. And so we're not going to go in way deep, but it'll probably be more thoughtful than most of you have, given thought to this subject of all the voices we hear. Who are they? Where are they from? How do we discern them? And how do we respond to them? I remember the first teaching I had on this, just to learn the difference between God's voice and my voice and the devil's voice, was a lot to me. And today we're going to go in a little deeper than that. I have not written like a whole essay on this, like a term paper with credits and everything else. I'm going to be sharing what I use every day, the discernment, the guidelines that I use every day. And I think for a lot of you, this will be plenty. You'll say, well, I'm glad she didn't share any more than that. This is enough. So I'm designing this so that it should be a good guide for anybody that's in ministry, praying for other people, in deliverance ministry, even evangelism, where you have to discern the spirits that you're coming upon. Actually, anybody in the marketplace, you name it. It's good to not be the last one to know, amen? Don't you like to know what spirit is behind the voice that's speaking to you? So I have written just a general outline. I'm going to be basically sharing as the Holy Spirit leads, because there is way so much that could be said about this. There's no way we can fit it into one program. However, if you decide that you want to know more, please just email me at cwt@cwlinc.com and let me know, because in September and October, traditionally, I try to give more insight into the spirit world because of all the things that are going on in the spirit world, especially in September and October. And whatever areas of interest you have, please email me at cwt@cwlinc.com and let me know. Okay, so we are beginning after a word of prayer here. I feel especially important. I hope that you all will download this protection prayer from my Facebook page under notes, or email me and ask me for it, because really each of you should be praying this protection prayer every day. And today I'll share aspects of it that you'll see how it pertains even to today's teaching. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your eyes and ears, that we have the mind of Christ. We thank you that we have your discernment inside of us. And we thank you that today each of us will have additional insight as needed to know how to release you, Jesus, to see with your eyes, to hear with your ears, to discern with your discernment through us. We choose to cancel every assignment of the enemy to block us, to distort our perceptions, or to stop us from discerning what the enemy's doing. And we cancel every assignment of the enemy against us, our pets, possession, property, everything and everybody we care about, every hex, spell, curse, or incantation, familiar spirit on assignment, every circles, triangles, everything else the enemy uses, everything from the dark side against us, canceled. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of God Most High, we place a hedge of protection and a wall of fire around us that no being, cosmic being, spirit on assignment, devils, demons, fallen angels, anything can cross over without the sender being burned. And we bless that sender with the knowledge that Jesus Christ is greater than any name. And if they are power hungry, that what they want is the power of God operating in their lives, not these dark side forces. Sorry about my voice. Pray for me. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you have all power and authority in heaven and earth, and you are inside us. We thank you that when we have your mind, you're all-knowing, we have everything. We thank you that when you tell us our bit lines that we're to respond whenever we're hearing voices of any kind, that when you tell us what our lines are, and we say our lines, whatever the Father says for us to say, that you do everything else. You do 99% of the work all the time anyway, amen? We thank you, Lord, that we are your sheep and we hear your voice. We know your still small voice. We thank you that today we'll receive an impartation, that our insight and discernment will increase. We'll know when it's Satan's voice. We'll know when it's another voice. We'll know when it's part of us. We thank you for new revelation, new impartation, and we choose to keep looking and keep listening when you're speaking and not to quench your voice, to value it, to journal it, to treasure it. Thank you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you are everything we need. We're completing you, and we will learn how to release you to live through us. We choose to partner with you, and instead of going into doubt and unbelief and believing we don't have what it takes and we're always being blindsided and we don't have a clue, we're going to believe that even today we'll receive new insight, new discernment to know what's going on in the spiritual realm. We'll know the strategies of God and the strategies of Satan that we need to know. And we'll know how to come into agreement with you, God, how to ride with you, Lord Sabaoth, how to ride with the Lord of hosts. You said you came to destroy the works of the devil. And we say we choose to ride with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we give you thanks ahead of time for opening our eyes, opening our spiritual ears, and showing us how to release you to live through us full power, full strength. Amen? Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I just realized I forgot to open the chat room. Oh, well, it's open, I guess. You're there. Welcome. Lots of you. I have a prayer request. I really, really need a co-host. The co-host doesn't have a huge responsibility, but it's extremely important. When you're my co-host, you can see the studio online. You can see the chat room and respond there, because it's hard for me to talk and type something at the same time. You can see who's calling, and there's a little button that you can push, and you can find out who's calling and if they have a question or a comment or they want prayer. And all you do is you just write beside their name, question, comment, or prayer, or something else if necessary. And I think once since 2005 we've been on radio, a couple people called in that were drunk. You can write drunk. But at any rate, it's only about three responsibilities. And if you would like to say something, contribute, of course you're welcome to do that. But you can introduce callers and respond to chatters is the main thing. And it's just a little bit easier for me. It's a little bit much for me to juggle all this. And I've been doing it for a couple years without a co-host. But I believe God has one. Amen? Okay. You got pencil and paper and ready to go? If you want to write this kind of in an outline form, basically going to have three sections. First, I'm going to describe some of the various responses. And this is not something I've given a huge amount of thought to. It's just, you know, what we all know in daily life, but we're going to concentrate and focus on it today, responses that we've seen in the Bible to different voices. Then I'm going to talk about different sources of voices. I'm just going to divide them into two categories, voices that we hear coming from within and voices we hear coming from without. Okay? You've probably heard this taught a different way, and today I think this is going to be useful because in real life, one of the main things that people ask me is this coming from inside me or outside me? And I think we should talk about that. Just briefly, only going to give, you know, 8 or 10 examples because this is not the major thrust of what we're talking about today, but it's important. Just to review, little Samuel that was living with the priest Eli heard a voice, right? And he knew it was God. And his response was first to ask Eli. But then he said, "Here am I, Lord." That's a good response to God. Then there are prophets that have described hearing God's voice as a still small voice or in the wind, you know, softly, not knock you down, booming voice. And I think that's how most of us hear God's voice. Then there are apostles, like in the New Testament, that were confronted, accosted by this girl that was operating as a medium, I believe. I haven't even reread these things, but you know what I'm talking about. They worked for some sorcerers. She worked for some sorcerers. And what she said to them was actually the truth. She was kind of working the crowd, saying, you know, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And she was actually telling the truth, but this is an example in the New Testament of a voice, a human voice, that's saying the truth, but the source is wrong. She was paid by sorcerers. She was like saying a truth before Jesus was ready to say it, and she would be drawing what she did with her powers was to a business for the sorcerers. I mean, it was just coming from the wrong motivation, wrong source. Then there's Jesus. When Peter was talking to Jesus, Jesus had been revealing a little bit, letting them know a little bit about his coming death and resurrection. But Peter's response was, "Oh, no, Lord. You know, you're not going to die. You know, not on my watch," basically, is probably what Peter was thinking. But what did Jesus say? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Okay, so we glean a couple things from that. It's important to know when a human's voice, when a human's voice is being used, but that the source is not the human. He didn't say, "Get thee behind me, Peter," because he knew that at that moment, that voice was not Peter. So when we're discerning a stronghold or a source of a voice that's not God, it's important to differentiate the stronghold from the human. We love humans, and we come against strongholds. So in this case, he loved Peter and rebuked Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. Okay? And then there's Job. Job said, what I feared has come upon me. Now, I'm kind of reading into this, but the context is about Job offering all these sacrifices just in case any of his children went astray, disobeyed God. But apparently, he wasn't just overly obedient. Apparently, he had let a spirit of fear talk to him. And I think it's in Job 4, somewhere in there, that he talks about even the hair in his flesh standing up on end because of the spirit of fear. We've all experienced that. So Job should have rebuked that. Maybe he was listening to it, because the indication is that by listening to the spirit of fear, he opened a door. Now, I'm not in the business of pointing fingers and saying it's all Job's fault. However, the Bible does include this account that he was being approached, at least, by a spirit of fear and probably came into some agreement with it. It's reassuring to know that Satan had to go to the courtroom of heaven and ask permission to touch Job even so. Then one of my personal favorites is when Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You know, anybody that's born again can hear God's voice. And I would say even non-Christians hear God's voice, because we all heard the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you know, before we were born again. So I believe pretty much everybody can hear God's voice, especially if they want to. Then there's a great example in the book of Revelation where John the Revelator hears the revelation of Christ and writes it all out. And what I want to point out there is he says over and over, and he kept looking, kept listening. And this is a good response to hearing the voice of God. Excellent response. Don't rush off. Don't think after you've heard the first couple sentences that you're done. Be patient, drop everything, sit down, keep looking, keep listening. Same thing in Book of Daniel. The prophet Daniel says over and over, he kept looking, he kept listening, and he saw this and he heard that. Why can some people hear God better than other people? Well, one, the Bible says to earnestly desire the best gift, but also you take time to sit down and let that gift work by looking and listening and writing and honoring it and writing it down and sharing it, even if you're supposed to share it. Then there's Apostle Paul. Interesting passage where the prophet Agabus is there. And Paul is maybe getting a prophetic word saying that he is going to be, suffering, persecuted if he goes to Jerusalem. And so he's got a mixture of voices probably here where his friends that know and love him are saying, oh, don't go. And he says, no, I'm ready to go. Because Paul has heard from God. He knows he's to go to Jerusalem and for a purpose. And so it's true that God was warning him, it's not going to be easy. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be bound up. And Paul's response, instead of saying, ooh, that must be from the devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus, he says, I'm ready to go. It's God. Okay? And then last but not least, let's look at Moses. There are many, many more. But let's look at Moses, that when he hears God's voice commissioning him to finally be the liberator that he's had a heart for all his life, he wanted to liberate. He murdered, doing it in his own strength. Then God had to put him on the backside of the desert for 40 years and teach him how to do it in God's strength. And only say and do what God says to do. When God finally releases him and says, okay, time to go, go to Pharaoh, set my people free. But he says, I can't do it. I can't speak. Oh, he's totally broken in spirit in a good way. But God says, okay, I'll let Aaron go, and he'll help you, and he'll speak. But the important thing is that we say, yes, Lord, when it's God. So it begs the question, how do we know if all these voices are God or not? Okay, so I'm ready to discuss that. There are inner voices and voices that come from outside. And so first of all, you might say, well, does the voice of God really come from outside? First of all, consider the fact if Christ is in you, the hope of glory, Holy Spirit is inside you, that many times the little voice that you're hearing from the inside is actually God. So how do you know if that's you or God? Well, I'm going to oversimplify this, but I want you to be able to write this outline today that will be helpful on an ongoing basis, and it's not going to be so long that you'll never look at it again. When I'm hearing God's voice, first of all, I have prayed that protection prayer a lot. You know, almost every day my husband prays it as well. When I hear God's voice, I am often hearing something that is not one of my normal thoughts. Like when you call in for ministry, a few of you I have met over the phone, almost none of you, very few of you have I ever met in person, but almost none of you do I know anything about what's currently going on with you. And I have what I call spontaneous thoughts. I have gotten still before the Lord. I've known that I need to bind, tie, and gag every other spirit so that only the Holy Spirit can talk to me. Then I choose to believe that that prayer worked. I pray the protection prayer similar to what I prayed today, and I choose to believe it works so that no spirit from the outside can speak to me in the first place. I dedicate my eyes and ears to God as his tool. And so is it me or is it God is a common question. And I would say that one of the telling points is that usually it's a spontaneous thought when it's God that is not a thought that you would have had yourself. It's not something that you normally think. Like the lady that called in and I saw this picture of balloons. And I'm not normally thinking about balloons. So I asked God, well, what about balloons? And we could have a whole, a whole program on this one thing. But today I wanted to give you the big picture, so let me move on. There are other voices inside, though, besides the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit will come to, like, convict us, but not condemn. You can write that down. He convicts us of sin, but not condemn. He will lead us, but not usually push or drive us. That would be the devil. The Holy Spirit is gentle, whereas the devil is harsh or demanding. And the Holy Spirit wants to build us up, whereas a voice from the devil is usually tearing us down, accusing us, falsely accusing us, judging us, or even using scripture but misusing it. The Holy Spirit wants to restore us, and the devil wants to destroy us, kill, steal, and destroy. And the Holy Spirit wants to edify us and train us up, even if he stretches us. But the devil is about tearing us down, discouraging us, disappointing us in some way. If you can just kind of picture those, there are more that we could share. But on the other hand, there are more voices inside than just my main self and the Holy Spirit. There can be, if you will, unbelieving parts of my heart. Now, you might say that the unbelieving part of my soul and my mind, will, and emotions, but part of my ministry, our ministry as I partner with the Lord, is to evangelize unbelieving parts of your heart. Because don't you know that there are some things that are easier for you to believe than others? There are some things that you, some truths that you embrace right away, and you've been around that mountain before, and you know that you can believe that and you can walk it out. But there are other things that are harder for us to believe, and it varies from person to person. For some people, believing truths about their ability to evangelize is a piece of cake. That comes easy for them. They're gifted or called in that area. Other people, speaking in public is nigh unto impossible, it seems, and they have a lot of unbelief in that area that they could ever do that. But some of us are just as home at home in front of people as we are by ourselves or doing this like over the phone or radio. At any rate, there can be parts of you that are unhealed and other parts or places in your heart that are healed. There can be parts of you that have fears and parts of you that don't. Now, this is more obvious to some people than others. Some people are very aware that there are voices inside their heads that argue, and they have voices that, you know, one super Christian voice might say, well, Christ is in us. There isn't anything we can't do. And another voice may say, that works for other people, but it doesn't work for us. And you may have been taught that this is your soul arguing with your spirit, or your flesh arguing with your spirit and soul. There's all different ways to say this, but some of you are more aware that there are different parts in you that have different views, different hurts, different strengths. We're not all that simple. There's not just one us, because we have at least the flesh that would argue with the spirit, or we have also soul, mind, will, and emotions that needs to come under our spirit. Their spirit is God's willing servant. Our spirit wants to agree with God. In my spirit, Paul said, I'm God's willing servant, but my flesh will object. My flesh may have doubt, fears, may have unbelief. And there can be a conversation going on the inside of you that says, that hears God's voice that says, I want to, Lord, but, you know, and your flesh may say, that's never worked before, we'll be totally embarrassed and humiliated, and your spirit may say, this is the day to step out and to believe God, okay? And then for those of you that feel more fragmented in your soul, you may have several parts of you, or a lot of them that have doubts of different kinds, fears of different kinds, wounds of different kinds that need healing. Is life like that? Yeah, life is really like that. It's just that some people never stop and think about who all these little voices are inside of me that argue with God or agree with God. And there are parts of us that are unhealed, and sometimes we don't know it till our buttons are pushed. Sometimes you don't know it until somebody treats you again like some authority figure has in the past, or your parent or your pastor, a man or a woman, whatever, and you don't even realize that there's a part of you that is seriously unhealed and suddenly is angry with God for letting this happen again. They may have vowed, I'll never be controlled like this again, or I'll never let anyone hurt me or get this close again, and here we are. And all of a sudden, all these emotions come up. Like, where does this come up from? Well, it's a part of you that still needs healing. And the main you or core you is not aware of this all the time. You might say, I never think about this. I thought this was behind me. Okay? Does that make sense? And so there's your flesh that kind of have a life of its own. Now, I personally do not believe it's your old unsaved nature. I believe the old unsaved nature is dead and buried, and we've been raised to newness of life in Christ, that we are a new creature. We're partakers of a divine nature. But clearly, in Romans 7, even the NIV has changed its wording now to say that our problem is the flesh. I'm glad they did. That really threw a lot of people off when they used to say that it was the old nature that was warring with the spirit. So we've got a spirit. We've got a soul, mind, will, and emotions. We've got flesh. And I'm saying in there, there are unbelieving areas and believing areas. So these voices can be all part of you. There's also inside of us the Spirit of God. So we describe that. Now, another thing that can be inside is a demonic voice. And I was just contrasting how a demonic voice will push or demand or condemn, always criticizing you, always putting you down, always saying, what if, you know, God didn't really mean that? You know, what if God's not there for you? What if? It projects these illusions up on the screen of your mind. And that's a lot of what demonic voices do. There's also other voices, though. Let's look to voices that come from the outside. And I realize it's not always this clean cut, but I think this will help you in general. Besides the people that talk to you, give you their unsolicited opinion, good and bad, and besides the people's voices that you can remember from the past, some of you may say, my mom is dead and gone, but I can still hear her telling me, do this, don't do that. There's demons on the outside, too, and there are devils. Now, some of you may not realize that devils and demons are not the same thing. Demons, I call them like little raisinettes. If you can just picture a little entity that has no power unless you give it power by agreeing with it. I mean, they can try to tempt you, but they don't really have any power over you unless you come into agreement with them. That's why it's so important what comes from our own mouth. The Bible says that we by, or our future is made up of the fruit of our own lips. Get that. We are created in the image of our Creator. Our Creator actually lives inside of us, and what we speak is what we will have. And it's important at some point to go back and to renounce all agreement with demonic voices. You can just make a list. All agreements with doubt. All agreements with fear, with unbelief, with all the I can't, I can't, I can't, all the what ifs. You know the ones, and the Holy Spirit will help you. You don't have to figure this out on your own strength. Ask the Holy Spirit, in what ways have I agreed with demons or with devils? And the Holy Spirit might say, well, you can even put on there, for instance, I can't begin my day without a cup of coffee. See, we're not to be addicted to anything. We're not to say I can't. We're just to say, yes, Lord. And if you say I'll never make more than this much money, or everybody in my family dies of so-and-so, or nobody lives past this age, or even I'm heating to death, or this is about to kill me, there's a lot of ways. I hear it all the time because I'm trained to hear it, that people agree with demonic voices or with devils. See, demons need a place to live. They want a body to live in. They prefer a human. They'll go into 2,000 pigs if there's nobody around available. But it's important for us not to come into agreement with demons, to renounce the agreements we've had in the past and close those portals, those doors of access. And it's important for us to know how to respond rightly, and I'll get to that in a minute. On the other hand, there are fallen angels. you know, when Lucifer defected, he took one third of the angels with him. So the good news is the fallen angels are one third, and the good angels are wonderful angels of all kinds that serve the Lord and us. They are two thirds. But the main thing is they are empowered by what we speak. So when we speak scripture and send forth the word, that empowers good angels of all kinds. And sometimes people, empowers us. But when we speak doubt and fear and unbelief and lies of the enemy, we are empowering demons, whether they're on the inside or outside. They are energized and empowered with our permission when we speak lies in agreement with them. And they are going to come along, and they're going to say, like I said, it works for other people but not you, that you can declare scripture all day long, you're still going to lose. You're going to be on the bottom of the pile. If you try to do what God says, you're going to fall on your face. If you give an offering to God, you're going to starve to death. They're going to tell you that giving to God doesn't work. You don't have enough money to give. Just on and on and on. Whatever it is God wants you to do, they're going to have a reason for you to believe that it's not going to work, because God doesn't have your best interest at heart. God doesn't really love you like he does other people. I could just go on and on and on. This is what I help people identify, the things that come out of their own mouth as they respond to voices that are not godly. There's also spirit guides. This is real popular today. There's more and more religions beyond what you can count today that are not about Jehovah God and Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit. They're about supposed ETs that are really fallen angels. And there's really no such thing. They've never proven any, there's ever been any such thing as extraterrestrial. They're really fallen angels wanting us to believe that they are ETs and they're going to save us. We don't need Jesus to rapture us. We can believe in them. But they're spirit guides that are part of many religions, and they are all demons. They present themselves like they're a voice that comes to you like they're going to help you, that with their help, you'll have the protection you need or the information you need or the power you need or the love you need. And there are many fallen angels and demons both that will offer to give you great sex. And, you know, what the devil offers can be good for a moment. But the wages of sin is death, and the bondage and the oppression that comes with what spirit guides, demons, or fallen angels offer is incredible, and it's definitely not worth the moment of pleasure. Does that help? Does that help? There's spirits like the incubus spirit and the succubus spirit that specialize in a sexual relationship with us. They offer... they may speak first, or they may just jump on you in the middle of the night while you're asleep. If you've ever experienced this, you know that it seems like it's out of this world sex, and it is out of this world sex. It's not something that we need, and it's forbidden. It's how the Nephilim were formed when fallen angels came to the daughters of men. They started forming a hybrid race, and then God wiped it out with the flood, and then he wipes out the same kind of contaminated DNA at Sodom and Gomorrah. And then in the book of Judges, it talks about God having them wipe out whole cities in the promised land because they were giants. In other words, they were the Nephilim too. So these are more voices that we don't want to hearken to. We need even extra discernment these days, because they're not only fallen angels and people, there are hybrids. I can't help but wonder if this is what Hollywood is trying to portray with all these superhero things that have all these out-of-this-world powers, and certainly there are hybrids. There are such a thing as hybrids, and even well, let's not go there. That it's even more complicated. Another couple comments that I wanted to make, and then I really need you all's help on this. I want you to call in. I want you to be prepared to make comments, ask questions, and we'll go as far into this as we need to go. But then I want to be able to take callers for prayer later on, too. Is I want to mention that sometimes that some of the voices that people hear are due to programming. There are more and more and more people that grew up in some kind of coven under the control of something occult or in the bloodline of the occult or are second, third, fourth generation to Nazi mind control or, I mean, there's different kinds of programming. Military programming is huge. Many of our soldiers have unwittingly been programmed. They're programmed to do things in the future at future dates on cue. I personally believe that this is going to be a big, important part of the Battle of Armageddon, that many of our military, have you noticed how the police in cities isn't just police anymore? It's beginning to look like a military occupation. And have you noticed how quite a few of the incidents that we've had in the United States in the past few years, there's been this huge response that looked more like, this military taking over, overreaction to it. I think these have been practice runs. But at any rate, you may be hearing voices that are due to programming and either programming because you thought you were abducted by aliens, and we're not even going to get into that today. I have other programs on that. Whether that really happens or whether it's your perception. At any rate, the enemy wants to program you to trust him instead of Jesus, or the enemy wants to program you that if you surrender to Jesus and start saying too much truth, that bad things will happen to you. Or the enemy may have programmed, if you were in a cult, in some way, or a coven, or raised by Satanists, or in Skull and Bones fraternity at Yale, or there are many different sources, military programming. You may have been programmed that if you defect from what you've been programmed to believe or do or say, that you'll actually become suicidal. And there's one more thing I want to say about this. I don't want to go in too deep. I just want to say enough that if you all want to know more about this, that you can let me know what areas you want to know more about. There is programming for people that have been part of coven, say, in the past. We'll use that example. There's programming for them to come back to the coven on ritual days or their birthday or high, what they call high holy days, they're really high satanic days, like spring or summer solstice or Halloween or at Easter. And they are programmed that if they don't come back, then they have suicidal ideas and feelings. It's not like they absolutely have to come back, but they're programmed to feel suicidal and 'cause they don't like Satanists don't like defectors. There's also mind control that, I have a CD with a couple minutes of a person talking, and we're being interrupted even in our opening prayer. This person's a second generation mind control, Nazi mind control, and we met together on Skype for months getting more freedom and healing. But there was this voice that came on one day, raspy, dark, interrupting, rude, condemning voice that kept interrupting our opening prayer. And I was like, how can this be? Every demon has to bow in the name of Jesus. How come this thing doesn't have to shut up? when I tell it. And the bottom line of this story is that I realized it was not a demon, that it was part of the multiple personalities that had been created under programming and mind control, the Nazi programming, and that's why it didn't have to shut up at the name of Jesus. See, every demon has to bow at the name of Jesus. There's no exception. The only thing that keeps everybody from operating in this is their own lack of understanding, training, or their doubt and unbelief. But the demons know that every demon has to bow at the name of Jesus. But not every person or personality or multiple personality or fragmented personality, not every person is being forced to bow at the name of Jesus. So see how that helps. When you think it's a demonic voice, it sounds like one, it acts like one, the content is one, but it doesn't have to seemingly bow down to the authority of Jesus. It might be that it is a fragmented or personality within that person, okay? And in that case, we need to treat it like a person and evangelize it, okay? I want to ask you all, does that help? I hope you were taking notes and kind of followed this, that we were talking about what our responses can be, examples in the Bible. We talked about different voices that come from the inside, different voices that we hear from the outside. And in the middle there, we contrasted that the voice of the Holy Spirit or God's voice isn't pushy. It leads. It's not demanding. It's not harsh. It's gentle. It's not condemning. It will convict you of sin. But the devil's voice is shaming. It tries to always put all this guilt and false guilt on you, whereas God's voice offers forgiveness, offers restoration, okay? But both might be a quiet voice. It's just usually it's the Holy Spirit's more the quiet voice and the devil's more the pushing, urgent, you've got to do this now. And two more points. The devil will sometimes confuse the situation by pushing you to do a good thing or what appears to be good to you. For instance, he may push you to get in somebody's face with a bunch of scripture or something, and you think, well, that couldn't be the devil. That's got to be God. But see, the devil may know that that person has really been hurt by people pushing them with scripture, and so he's trying to get you to believe that this will be a good thing and it's God, when really it's not the Holy Spirit asking you to do it. It's the devil trying to get you to look like this pushy person that knocks people around with a word. Okay, does that make sense? And I had one more point. Between the devil and the Holy Spirit. Maybe it'll come to me in a minute. Okay. I guess so. Maybe we'll wait. Maybe one of you is going to shed some great light on that for us. Another trick of the devil, but okay. Well, it'll come to me eventually. Maybe you'll help me out with it. All right. Now, I would like to worship for a couple minutes here. Invite the Holy Spirit to anoint you with new discernment, to hear God's voice more clearly, to be able to discern whether it's from inside or outside, whether it's a godly voice or not. And here's my other point I was forgetting. Thank you, Lord. To know that even if the voice prophesies things that come true, or even if the voice speaks scripture to you, you still need to ask God, is that you? And I'm not trying to make you fearful. I'm just saying the devil will quote scripture to you and try to get you to apply it wrongly, or the devil will put a medium or a psychic up to prophesying, predicting something that does come true. So you can't judge a voice just by, is it fulfilled? Was it true to the Bible? Or did it come true? You have to discern the source, and that's really the point of today's program. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit. We have to ask Him to discern the source, because familiar spirits, for instance, or your spirit guide or a medium might know enough in general to predict something that looks like it'll come true or does come true. That still doesn't make that medium of God, right? So we have to discern the source, not just the content, not just what's biblical, because one of the main things that the devil's voices do is they will make their message, say, 90% biblical, and then throw in just enough lies to get you off track. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Now, after I play this worship music, I'm going to take callers, and here's two things I want you to know. If you have called in the last month and you've already pushed one, then just push it again so that you won't be on my first list, because I'm going to have the people I answer first and the people we answer second. But also, if you have a comment or question, I'd like to take those people first that want to discuss the teaching. So if you have called in and you've already pushed one, and you don't have a comment or question, if you'll just push one again and wait for a few minutes, that'd be great. And if you'd like to call in with a comment or question and you haven't pushed one yet, please do. And that way we can wrap up our insights on the teaching before we forget what God's trying to show us, because I think it's just so precious, the revelation, the impartation He's giving today. And I'm just so grateful that He does increase and we do have His discernment. Amen. So let's just give praise to Jesus right now, because Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead inside us, and in Him we have all the gifts and all the discernment that we need. And so instead of saying, oh, I don't have that, I'll never have that, say, Jesus, give me the revelation, the impartation right now, that I have You full strength inside me, I have Your discernment and everything I need.
Let Your voices ascend to His throne. On the wings of the music, let Your hearts be raised, and in one accord make His praise known. Singing, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you. We say hallelujah, Lord. We say thank you that you're a talking God, that you are always wanting to communicate with us. You can communicate with us through still small voices, through your written word, your spoken word, through other people. We thank you, Lord, in visions, in dreams, in examples that we see in our daily life. You are always communicating with us. We just thank you, Lord, that we will know your voice because we are your sheep. Hallelujah. Now I just want to open up the lines, phone lines, for people that have comments or questions, first of all, related to the teaching. And what I'm going to do is ask you to call in on 917-388-4683, 917-388-4683. And I'm going to call out your area code or what I can see on your phone number, because if people calling in with Skype too or credit cards, it may have, for our first caller, it's all ones. And then I'm just going to tell you you're on the air. And, of course, if you're not on the air and you speak up and say, is it me? No, we won't hear you. So just, well, I'm just going to say welcome to the program, and we'll love to hear what God wants to comment or ask through you. So it looks like all ones. Welcome to the program. Yes. What's your name and city?
Hello. This is Apostle Nut from Texas.
Oh, boy. All right. Welcome.
Praise God. What a powerful program today. I mean, it has just been very, very informative, and I know that so many people have just been blessed. And I'm like, wow, this needs to be heard because you just discussed, you know, so many different areas. It was like a smorgasbord. You had a smorgasbord for us today, and just very, very, very powerful. But one thing that really, just really, really came – several different things that you said, but each time this is what I would just get. And I kept on going to Genesis 24, you know, when Moses went up to the mountain and, you know, the glory of the Lord came. And
yes,
as he was in that place, Prophet Carlotta, that's when he heard the voice of the Lord. And so when we take that time to, you know, to go up into that secret place where we're not distracted by anything, and he just begins to speak to us, and this is what I love about whenever he spoke to, you know, whenever he'd come back down, he said, all that the Lord has said, we will do, and we will be obedient. And isn't that powerful? And he said, we will do it. He got the instruction. The Lord spoke to him, and he said, I've given this to you so you can teach, so you can share with them. But he said, we're going to do this. Moses said, we're all going to do this, and we're going to be obedient. And then in verse 14, he says that whoever, he says, Aaron and Hur are with you, and whoever has the cause, let him go to them. So God wants to speak to us and for a righteous cause. And, you know, if we'll change our how we were thinking when we're faced with, you know, several of the things that you said, you know, different things that are maybe a place of adversity or questioning, and if we'll stop asking the why and you know, get it in us that there's a righteous cause, you know, that he has given to us. We were born for a righteous cause. So that just kind of changes your whole perception to, you know, to not be asking the why, but just to know that he's going to reveal to you that righteous cause. And then I love also towards the end, it says that the glory of the Lord appeared to the Israelites like devouring fire on the top of the mountain. And so, you know, the God is so fighting our battles. You know, talk about all the things going on in the world today and the voices coming, but you know, to us, but there's such a clarity when we go up into that secret place and we go and we allow ourselves to be immersed in his glory, immersed in his presence, and he cleanses our spirit in that place. You know, remember Paul said in Corinthians, he said to come out from amongst the unclean. You know, the Father is saying, and separate yourself. And he said, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. And then he said, therefore, having these promises, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And so what the Holy Spirit's been teaching me is when we're up in that place of his glory, when we've gone up above the mercy seat and we're being immersed in his presence, he's cleansing, our spirit is being cleansed from any filthiness of the, you know, that has come against our flesh and, you know, especially against our spirit. And so, I mean, we cleanse ourselves by the washing of the word, our mind, so, you know, our mind, will, and emotions, but our spirit is cleansed from all of that, our spirit mind, you know, our spirit, who we are. And so there's a greater clarity every time we come out of that place.
All right.
Now, every time when we go into that place, then we hear. And so, you know, that has just been such an eye-opener that I've just really understood here recently about myself, not even realizing, you know, a lot of times you're walking in the spirit and you're not even really, you don't have that understanding in your mind really, you know, because you're being yielded. And so the Lord's giving me more and more, you know, to be able to help people to hear. And so when we're in his presence and he speaks and we hear his voice, we get accustomed to it.
Amen.
And then, you know, of course, that oneness comes in us so much that we do ask sometimes, well, is this me or him? But, you know, it's our ways become his ways, our thoughts become his thoughts. And so then we're able to discern what's the soul and the spirit. But I just love your program today. I'm so glad you communicated with me, and it's just powerful because we've got to be able to speak that word and create our world, create our atmosphere, and, you know, to see the will of God and power of God being released. So thank you for having this kind of program today, and I hope that helped someone.
Amen, and it's prompted me to say what I could have said from the beginning, is that we have probably 15, 20 programs on hearing God's voice and on the Blog Talk Radio archives and Now Faith TV, maybe even more, where you can search for it in the search box. And we don't mean to neglect today all the tips on how to hear God's voice better and all the protocol and training and mentoring and all that goes with that. But today I just wanted to hit on the confusion that a lot of people experience because they say, well, there's a lot of voices I hear and they're not God, you know. And
right,
so I wanted to acknowledge that and say, yes, there are actually quite a few different sources of voices, and it is complicated, but it's like, it sounds oversimplified, but you know, if you'll do the search on Blog Talk Radio on our site, Crosswalk Talk Radio, or on Now TV, on Hearing God's Voice, you'll find articles and audios and programs. But I just wanted to record this today for those that are constantly bombarded by voices that aren't God's voice, saying, oh, yeah, you're not nuts. It's real.
Yeah.
It's
it
real.
Is. I mean,
have to press in the pill thing, you know, when you know a real dollar bill, the counterfeit doesn't. We have to press in. But for those of you that are just bombarded by other voices, the answer isn't to focus on them. That's why I shared you know, a bunch of different responses we see in the Bible. But the answer is focus on truth. And Jesus would say, it is written, it is written, it is written.
Yeah.
It is written, it is written. So that's another one you can add to the best responses. But
yes,
I think
it's so powerful.
Once you become more comfortable that you can hear God's voice, and as you walk this out, as God trains us and as if you allow us to mentor you, then you can relax into God's rest and just say to that voice, that's not my voice. You know, that's not my thought. Or that's not God's voice. And then ignore it.
That's right. And that's the thing, ignoring it and casting it down. You know, those imaginations that even come that are speaking to us, you know, because they're not true. They're a fact of something that you're hearing, but it's not the truth. And, you know, the more time we spend in his presence, we just become more accustomed. But everything he said, it's like, oh, my goodness, I could just comment on just many, many of the points, and those are valid things that people really struggle with, you know, every single day. And I've just found the more you spend that time with him, I mean, not just found that out, but you go into that place of his glory, you just become so familiar with him and his voice. And then, of course, you've got to say in the word, and what you said, writing, you know, that's what Moses did. What he heard, he wrote all the words down. And so just, you know, everything you were sharing about it is just really powerful, because people ask that all the time. How can I know that it's his voice? How can I, you know, hear him? And wow, it's just so needed, because people are frustrated and get disappointed because, you know, they're trying to discern, is this, what voice is this? What am I listening to? But we know the word divides the soul and spirit. And so it's a very, very much needed program.
Thank
you again.
Lord. And God wants to reassure you, Apostle Nutt. Listening to God for you, and I believe that the thing that God wants to warm your heart with today is that he's been giving you clarity on how he's promoting you and expanding you, and, you know, you've had some major victories in the last couple years, and some prophecies have been coming true that have been beyond your dreams, but the Lord says, what I want to give to you today is like a warm fuzzy. I want you to know that no matter how fast the pace gets or how large the sphere of ministry or how I widen your tent pegs, I want you to know that I am loving all of those that are close to you perfectly. And I see your concerns. You don't even have to make me aware of them. I know your concerns, and those people that are closest to you, it's like the promise that Jesus gave the disciples that, you know, when I send you out to other cities, I will stay here at home and take care of what concerns you. The Lord giving you that today, it's kind of almost silly, but I see the Lord like handing you one of those super soft stuffed animals. The Lord says, I'm just giving you like this, little, and you will know that even though the children seem like, or the grandchildren, it is, they seem like they're more concerned and, you know, these other things, or maybe they're too sports-minded sometimes, or they've got their mind on all these things. The Lord says, not to worry. I'm working through all of those things. I'm working through those scenarios. I'm building a strong confidence in me in their hearts. And, you know, when you can't be there with your husband or, you know, other things, the Lord says, I want you to know, I'm giving you this little gift, this little stuffed animal today, that you can know that you know that I have their best interest at heart at all times. I can only act toward them in love. I can only give them perfect love. And Holy Spirit, my tutor, their tutor, is always training them in the way they should go. And we don't miss an opportunity. We don't miss a one. We like they are. We definitely love them like they are. We're not rushing them. You know, that everyone close to you is under that umbrella of belief and protection and that fountain of blessing. They're all under the umbrella, and that I am blessing them all. I am tutoring them all, okay?
Amen. Amen. I've received that one, Fuzzy. I saw that little, you know, they used to be these little round things, and but some of them, their hair kind of went up, you know, they're all fuzzy round, and some of them had the longer hair, but they're just a little round fuzzy, and they have their little face. And so that's what I began to see.
Thank you.
But
thank
I know you. What it means to me.
I know that you already know these things, the Lord says, but in the events that are to come, you will remember this word and you'll take comfort in it. When you're away from home, you'll know that I am at your home, at their home, and I have everything under control, okay?
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much,
Carla. Carlotta, I am so blessed. So blessed by that and appreciate your sensitivity. And, wow, I got a surprise from Daddy today.
He's always full of something wonderful. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank
you. Thank
you,
Carlotta.
All right. I wanted to add one more thing to the teaching just now. We've got a couple more callers that want to make a comment, and I'm so grateful. But even as Apostle Diane Nutt was talking, I was reminded of something else, and that is maybe most of the time it might be sufficient to tell the demonic or devil voice or spirit guide or fallen angel, whatever it is, that's not my thought. And most of the time it might be enough to say, that's never been my thought, you know, and ignore it. Or I tell people to say just the name of Jesus to it. Just Jesus. Like I'm turning this over to Jesus in one word. I don't even have to argue with you. A third thing that we've discussed today is to say it is written, which is a model that Jesus set forth. He didn't do that every time, but we see that in Matthew 4. Now here's the other thing that I want to impress upon you. Sometimes when a voice accuses us, or maybe it's even a voice from the inside that comes up with a doubt or a fear, I can't, you know, God doesn't do that through me, and I'll fail if I try this. And sometimes those are our thoughts, and they're thoughts that we have had from the past or many times, the I can't, you know. And we do need to answer this thought because it's a part of us that needs healing or needs forgiveness or needs deliverance. Sometimes it is us. And so what we need to do is write down, and I mean take it seriously, count it precious when the Holy Spirit allows you to know the doubts or lies, or fears, or unbelief inside you, what it's saying, and write it down. You know, that God doesn't bless me like he does other people, or I can't walk in the Spirit like other people do. I can never fulfill what God's calling me to do. Whatever it is, write it down. And in some of my other classes, I've taught you how to ask forgiveness 5 ways so you break the power of it. You break the power of it because, see, it's not enough just to say, oops. You have to close any sinful reactions and any open doors related to that, like if it's I can't do what God wants me to do, then you ask forgiveness for judging other people that said that. You ask forgiveness for not forgiving other people that taught you that doubt and fear, intimidation. You ask forgiveness for saying it yourself and not obeying God when you could have. And you ask forgiveness for blaming God for not empowering you like he does other people. And sometimes I say ask forgiveness all five ways. The fifth way is to forgive yourself for speaking doubt and unbelief and sabotaging your own opportunities. Then you ask the Holy Spirit, after you've broken the power of the lie, you ask the Holy Spirit what the truth is, and a good godly belief has at least two sides. It's got God's promise, you know, what God has said in his word, that you can do all things through Christ, but a good godly belief has what you're going to choose to do different. I'm going to choose to believe that because Christ is in me, I can do anything he wants to do through me. And then it might even have a third part, you know, some overcomer type part to it. And if you know what it is that God wants to do through you, you know, and in Christ, I will, or I choose to say yes the next time he asks me to give my testimony or whatever. Does that make sense? Okay, so sometimes we ignore the devil. Sometimes we just say, that's not my thought. Sometimes we say, it is written. But there'll be times when God says, you know, that's a part of you that really does doubt or fear, and you need to write down that ungodly belief or fear or doubt. You need to ask forgiveness five ways because it's been a pattern in your life, and you need to replace it with a godly truth. And what I tell people is, if God asks you to replace it with a godly truth, then do like Jesus did and say, it is written, for 40 days or more, but not less. Give God plenty of time to make that a strength in you. And as you say it again each day for 40 days, he will be faithful to root out the unbelieving parts of you, root out those parts, and to heal them or set them free. It is an awesome process if we'll just do what Jesus did in Matthew 4. And when the devil shows us our weak spots or tries to tempt us in those areas, come back with truth. But if that doubt and unbelief persists, write it down, ask forgiveness five ways for ever saying it in the past, and replace it with godly truth that you say for 40 days. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. We just thank you, Jesus. How about another caller? Is that good? Okay. Area code 919, welcome to the program.
Good evening. How y'all doing?
We're doing good. What's your name?
Thank you, God, all the glory. Thank you, Lord. I just wanted to comment and to witness to what part you have just part of what you just said. It's just like we just buried my sister yesterday, and God was using me to pray for people, to give them comfort, and I said, Lord, I said. Now, Miss May, I said, now, she totaled her car. And I said, I could depend on her for a ride. And now I said, my sister. And I said, Lord, now she's passed. That's like that, right? And it came in my spirit. I mean, it came to me is that God said, you don't put nobody before you. Like that, I said, what? I said, wait a minute now. I said, this is not right. I said, God don't take one away just for another just to make a point to me that way. Just like that. And I had to call a friend of mine that me and her had, and she prayed about me with that. And it was just, I don't know if it was a spirit, it was a demon spirit or an angel or whatever that put that in my spirit. But it was weighing real heavy on my heart. Amen.
Oh, my. Oh, wow. And what was your name?
Mary Pierfall. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. I'm from North Carolina.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry you had to bury your sister, but I know God does all things well, and somehow this will work out for good. Wow. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you feel confident that you heard God's voice?
But this, you told this morning, I had to pray. I had to get on my knees on my face and pray. I'm not saying, I'm saying that I know it wasn't God that put that in my spirit. It was a, it was, I don't know what it was or who it was, but it was weighing real heavy on me, you know. And I said, God's not, he's going to take my sister away just to prove to me that, that you always make a way, because I already know that for a fact that you're going to make a way.
Right. There's a lot of squirrely teaching out there that we teach, you know, God does this to you and God does that to you just to teach you a lesson and all. And we have to know the character of God, know the character of God that, you know, what his aspects are, who he is.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I'm asking right now, what spirit was that was talking to you, Mary?
Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. It was a demon spirit. Oh, to God be the glory. It was a demon spirit because, hallelujah, because I know, like I said, I know that God would not do anything like that just to make a point to me, not that way. He don't take lies like that way, the way that, because he died in her sleep. Amen? And the Lord said, you are my daughter of Zion. I would not take away a life just to give, you know, make a point like that. That's what I'm hearing in my spirit, you know, right now.
Right. Can I just agree with you in prayer to come against the spirit of grief that would try to make this whole thing as difficult as possible?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, so we come together in the power of agreement. All the listeners, if you'll join me in coming into agreement with Mary, and, you know, even if you're hearing this next month, you can still come into agreement with us that the spirit of grief has to cease and desist in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of God Most High, that he cannot add to what would be normal grief over the loss of a loved one. He cannot add to that in the name of Jesus, because Mary refuses to agree with him and refuses to agree with his distortions of the Word of God, the character of God, the plans of God. And we say in the name of Jesus, that no spirit of grief can oppress you and try to distort and pervert and make things worse. You out in the name of Jesus to go to the dry, uninhabited places and never come back. Refuse to receive your lies, to humor them, to even discuss them today, because we know this is not God. This is not God. And we thank you, Lord, that you're a comfort to the brokenhearted, that you come with your healing balm, your healing salve. And we, even though there's like normal steps of grief that people go through when they lose a loved one and have a major loss in this way, that we say that what Mary experiences will be nothing more than that, and it will not be made worse by any other voice, that you'll only hear the voice of God. We just command every voice besides the Holy Spirit of God to be tied, gagged, and mute.
Thank you, Lord.
It cannot affect you. We place a hedge of protection and a wall of fire around you, Mary, so that no other voice can influence you in any way except the Holy Spirit.
Oh, I receive it. Thank you, Lord.
You're in a safe place, okay? And you can just pray that every day.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
I just pray for your whole family. Just place a hedge of protection, a wall of fire around them that they'll receive. They'll choose to receive the comfort of Holy Spirit and not be affected by any other voice. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
I hope you'll call. I hope you'll call us, Mary. Our prayers are with you.
Ma'am?
Oh. I said, I hope you'll call in again. Our prayers are with you, and I hope some of you will just add Mary Parasol to your prayer list, and would just pray protection prayers over you and your whole family. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, you just never know who God's going to draw to call into the program, but I just thank God for every one of you. Area code 727, welcome to the program.
Carlotta, this is Jan.
Hi, Jan. How are you today?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Do you have some insights or comments, questions on the teaching?
Sure, yeah. It's a great subject. There were two points, I think, generally that he was bringing to me. Also, testing of the spirits and fruit. And specifically, like when you're seeking the Lord for some answers on things, like in a situation that felt like a storm, say a month or two ago, a man of God said to me, you know, discerning is a gift of the Spirit, but you're in a storm, so really you're hearing the sound, like Jesus rebuked, you know, the wind. He rebuked it. But you're not sure if it's you, the enemy, or God. And he said, just like Apostle Diane said, lay on his chest. So there's that abiding, that secret place.
And
testing the spirits. Some people say, you know, can you say Jesus has come in the flesh? You know, is the Christ come in the flesh? Well, even the devil knows that, so there has to be more. And fruit is the other thing. You know, is there peace?
Right.
Do you feel a peace? And sometimes when you're in a battle or a storm, you may not feel peace right away, so there's a time issue. Peace and love. You know, does it bear fruit?
Right.
And just a comment, too, on that... the divining spirit, the one following Paul, saying the truth, motives, even in the church, but also in the counterfeit, and this does come in the church in the name of the prophetic sometimes, there's usually motives. Mammon is usually tied to that on some level, either money or greed or a desire for personal gain, you know, pride. And a lot of them were considered temple prostitutes in the past, you know, before the new covenant. So it's all tied to that. So motives. And sometimes you may know motives and sometimes you're not sure, but most of the false stuff is fear-based or uses fear or some variation of it to hook.
Yeah, so condemnation.
Yeah. So those were my comments.
Thank you. So I just want to reinforce what Prophet Jan's just shared with us, that there is a testing of the spirits that we're responsible to do. And God doesn't mind if we say, God, is that you? And we look at the fruit of messages that are spoken to us or around us, and we look at whether it's bringing peace, and we look at whether it bears the love of Christ and what the motivations are. And I'll just remind you of what I said earlier, that the content may be 100% pure Bible verses, but it could still be from the wrong source.
Right.
Or it could be exhorting you to do something that could be biblical, but it's not appropriate for, it's not what God wants to do that day. And so just because it's worked before doesn't mean it's God saying to do it now. It could be even your own spirit. I mean, you saying we got to do something, even if it's wrong, we got to do something now, you know. And that kind of pressure usually isn't God.
Yeah, if something has to be done quickly, there's usually an unction or something that comes. But timing is an issue, too, especially when you're really seeking the Lord and you may not be hearing clearly. Maybe he doesn't want to tell you yet. Or maybe he needs to get through some other issues you're having that are clouding You know,
right.
And again, the fruit of the Spirit, it was his first, and God is very patient with us. He's long-suffering. So, you know, if he needs to tell you something in a timely way, he has a way of doing it, and we just need to trust that. But if you're not sure, you can wait. I mean,
yes.
He'll let you know. So timing is a factor, too, definitely.
Right. You can ask for confirmation. Now, we mm-hmm. also need to know our own personality style or our own tendency to doubt, because I believe that some people, probably many people, have been having open doors for years, and they ask God for open doors, but when God tries to give them open doors, they say, I can't, or they don't want to hear from me, or I'm not good on the phone, or, you know, they've got all these stock excuses. And so a lot of people that are praying for open doors this year have been having open doors. They just have doubts about walking through them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Did you have a prayer request, Jan?
No, nothing specific at this moment. Just want to hear clearly from him.
Amen. I'm just seeing a prophetic act that you could do. I was reminded of when ISIS said they'll be flying their flag over the White House, and then all the issues now about flags and things. And I hear the Lord saying he'll be flying his flag over the White House. And that's Jehovah God, not Allah. And I believe that prophetically we can speak it, or we can, if you have a Christian flag, you can fly it, or you can even cut out a print and cut out a picture of one, but that we can prophetically say, as we hear God's voice, we can do prophetic acts. For instance, waving our little paper flag of the Christian flag over the White House and saying, this nation will be one nation under God again. I don't pretend that everybody feels the same way on that. I don't pretend that everybody's acting Christian, believing Christian, you know, walking it out. But I believe that we can declare it, that we are here praying to establish the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, and that we can declare it with our little Christian flag that this will be one nation under God again, and every nation, that there'll be worldwide revival. Amen.
Amen. It's the truth.
Hallelujah. Well, I don't usually prophesy an assignment, but I believe that the Lord is saying he's going to be giving you ways to turn the tide. Turn the tide, and there'll just be simple prophetic declarations and demonstrations, but don't discount the power of it. Thank you, Lauren.
Oh, amen. That's definitely confirmation.
Is it?
Yes.
Has the Lord
prophetic
told
acts,
you
prayer assignments, prayer strikes. Yeah.
Yeah. I think some people may think, oh, she's let Jan down. She didn't give her all this personal stuff. But I believe God's saying that I am calling you to do these prophetic declarations and acts, strikes, whatever, that will make a difference for nations.
Amen. Amen.
That's
praise
huge.
God. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for calling, Jan.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. I'm hoping to hear from more of you. Now, we have quite a few callers. I want to open up the phone lines to those who would like ministry today. Or if you have, if you have another comment or question about the teaching, about hearing voices or God's voice or how to discern it and all, please push number one now. Here we go. I want to be sure to hear from all of you. Area code 973, welcome to the program. What's your name and city?
Oh, hello, Carlotta. This is Elaine in New Jersey.
Elaine in New Jersey, okay. What's happening, Elaine?
Oh, I love the content of your show. That's good. Hearing the voices, and I just wanted to hear what God had to say today.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Elaine, I am calling you to be a watchman on the wall to hear my voice in the area of giving people exhortation and warning that many people are not prepared for the things that are to come. And they need exhortation. They need to know how to get prepared personally in their home, how to get prepared spiritually, to know how to be overcomers with the things that are to come. And they need to know how to be of help and service and be my voice to other people who are not prepared, because things are fixing to change drastically. It's not that I'm speaking into existence. I'm adding that. That's for me. It's that the Lord says, blessed are the Josephs who hear my voice and know when the lean years are coming and prepare, and who exhort others to prepare so that they're not caught off guard and naked and hungry when the lean years come, and the lean years are coming. And blessed are those that have the courage to warn the people to repent and to get right with God, obey God's financial principles, or hear God's voice to get out of debt, or hear God's voice to prepare in many, many different ways, cutting back the budget, whatever. And blessed are those. And the Lord says the Jonas that are just preaching for popularity and only want to hear what people want to hear, to exhort the Jonas to repent and to rise up and be willing to warn their Nineveh that they need to be right with God and how to be right with God. Blessed are they that care enough about other people that they will exhort them to line up with God in every way, so that when trouble times or lean times come, that you know that you're aligned with God. There's nothing blocking God's power to you or through you, and that you have peace. You're not in fear. You have faith that you're aligned with God, you're under the fountain of His blessing, and that you can trust God through difficult times to come. Wow. I didn't see that coming. That was a serious word.
Yes. Wow, Lord. Be it unto me, Lord, just to confirm to you, because it's always good to know that, get a confirmation, whenever you're speaking a word. But I do have the Joseph anointing on me. And he has told me that, that my family, whenever you're out there with God and there's no coming back, sometimes your family and your friends look at you like you're, like you're eating fruitcake, and you are the fruitcake. And so, I've experienced that. But God has let me know that they are going to come to me, that I'm going to be able to help them, because the times are coming whenever they're going to need the help, as like Joseph did. So it's a comfort whenever I see, that they're not listening, that I will be able to help. And so, But your word was a blessing. Your word was a blessing, and I just wanted to confirm it with you. There were some other things that you said too, but I can't remember. Now I'll go back and listen to the archives later. But the main thing was the Joseph anointing.
Right. Joseph did it the right way. Jonah didn't. For whatever personal reasons, Jonah was trying everything to avoid giving people a warning. We're not real sure if he just didn't even want the city to be saved or if he had other issues too. But Joseph, on the other hand, had just been promoted from prison to prime minister. And we just see that Joseph didn't use his past or anything else, his issues with that he could have had with his brothers. He didn't let anything stop him from hearing the voice of the Lord that said, there's going to be 7 fat years and it's going to be 7 lean years, and you better use the fat years to stock up for the lean years. And this is a word that God's been impressing upon me even stronger lately, that we are getting closer and closer to the lean years, and we're not to live in fear, but the wise will collect things, put aside things, not only food and water, but gadgets for survival, you know, whatever. And we need to put aside things. This is what I'm getting specifically in the last couple of days. Again, I've had it before, but getting it again. We all, this is a word for everybody, Christian or not Christian, we all need to put aside things that will help us to live without electricity. Because we'll always pray that these things won't happen. But if enemies are successful in taking out our electrical grid, it will change everything about American life. People in other countries are used to living without electricity, but Americans don't know how. And so we need to ask God for wisdom and to know how to put aside food and gadgets that will enable us to stay full and not hungry, you know, warm and not cold, without electricity.
Yes. Yes.
So enough preaching, but I believe that this wasn't a fear word, that this was God's kindness to tell us when the lean years are coming, when there's going to be an economic downturn, and there are financial principles that I could share on another program and have in the past. If you want to look up disaster preparedness on the Now Faith TV search, I mean, not Now Faith TV. Well, probably that one too. Yeah, both of them. Or on the Crosswalk Talk search box, look up disaster preparedness and you'll see the list of what God's talking about, what we need to do, because the lean years are getting closer.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. God cares. I mean, he doesn't want us to be caught by surprise. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, that is so true. So true.
And if you think that's what, I would even encourage people, this thought just occurred to me, I would encourage people to try to go without electricity for a weekend and see how they do. And I've put a list on Now Faith TV under disaster preparedness of what you need to have. But I may have missed some things, but just, you know, try going without electricity for a weekend, and then you can make your own list of what I need so this won't be the end of the world for me. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Well, thanks for calling, Elaine. I hope you call again.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. We just want to thank you, Lord, that you care about everything that concerns us. And, you know, when Israel went into captivity several times, they all went. The righteous and the unrighteous together went into captivity. And so there's kind of a belief floating around that God will never let me be inconvenienced, suffer at all. And we can see on the news that that is not an accurate picture. That's not what God promised. He promised to be with us through some things, not just to escape everything and prophecies about the end times are full of how Christians also will suffer. And so while we trust God implicitly, on the other hand, if he tells us to prepare, then we need to prepare. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, if you'd like to call in, we have 15 more minutes or 12 minus music, and please call 917-388-4683, 917-388-4683. And area code 310, welcome to the program.
Yes, it's Patty Brown from Los Angeles.
Hello, Patty. How are you?
Well, I am very well, and I had one comment, not that it's, you know, a word from the Lord, but a comment in, what, in preparedness. I know I take some medication, and my insurance only gives it to me once a month. So having listened to this and heeded that word, I thought, well, what can I do beyond prayer and believing God will provide, but in the practical to provide for myself? And the pharmacist told me, well, in any insurance, they'll always let you fill it a little bit early, usually a week early, and you should keep doing that and then keep track of expiration dates so that if there were ever an emergency, you could end up with extra supplies.
Okay.
So just a word if someone were concerned about that.
Right.
And I missed the beginning of the program, and I can't wait to listen to it. But one comment I had on discerning, and if it's covered, stop me. I know I had a person in authority over me, very good, and they had their issues. And so they would layer them on me. It was always very truthful and very good advice. But in learning to take it to God, was I in alignment on those principles, and then letting it go then if I were, so it didn't go into fear and interfere with direction God was giving me. So I think listening to those in authority, but remembering God is the source, and, you know, getting other opinions.
Thank you. And I do believe that God spoke through the pharmacist, you know, seeking those that are experts in their field, and trusting God for words of wisdom and knowledge through authorities, through experts, through, for instance, many of you may have a board of directors or people that you're accountable to.
Is the yellow one got a little...
Oh, maybe...
Yes, uh-huh.
Many of you may have people that are experts around you, and, you know, God may lead you to that voice, you know, to say, I have this decision, and to be willing to consider those other voices, too. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, we'll see. What God, thank you, Lord. Thanks, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just hear the Lord saying, I am moving you, as you will, to the fast track, a fast track of preparation, and you have choices. It's partly that fork in the road that I've told you about, but you have choices. I'm making a fast track available to you, and there have been many, many, many assignments that you've had, and many things concerning you, and many choices that you've had to make. But the Lord says, as you're ready, as you're able, I'm making a fast track of preparation available to you. And it's for advanced training in areas that I have uniquely prepared you for, that you have unique insights. But also the Lord is saying, that I want to give you more discernment in the area of these voices, because the enemy's plan is to take advantage of you in areas where you don't have knowledge, areas where I'm just getting the word naive, that in spite of all the many experiences that you've had with people and with places and systems and everything else, the Lord says, I want to put you on a fast track so that I can train you in areas where you're still naive and where the enemy would seek to take advantage of you because you think you know. So that's kind of a direct word. But the Lord says there are areas where you think you've taken that course, you've already got an A on it, you're okay. But the Lord says, I'm offering you a fast track into kind of like some postgraduate training. You know, in areas where you think you know already and the enemy has actually influenced your thinking with lies, the Lord says, as you're able, I would like you to just sit down with me and, you know, press into this training and let me show you how the enemy has kept you naive, not knowingly wrong, but naive in some areas where he has fed you lies and he has done it strategically to cripple you so that you will not take as strong a stand in these areas as you could. But the Lord says, I have called you to be that person that knows not only the enemy's strategy, but my strategy, the Lord says, and I am prepared to equip you with spiritual power and authority in those areas, but I want to give you advanced training in some areas where the enemy has fed you wrong information and to give you kind of like postgraduate schooling, if you will, and so that you'll be able to adjust assessment of the whole situation and know my strategy in it. Amen?
Amen. Amen. But I've been asking God for more discernment. I've looked over situations where I thought, how did I not have the discernment? And then when I didn't, so quickly lost control and was battered around and has been praying so much the prayer of God's mercy and grace for restoration of opportunities, you know, in training. So I think, you know, this speaks very much to that, and I thank God for the word and thank you for delivering it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I've just been, in fact, I was hearing something along that line a couple days ago, and you know how it can kind of get away from you, and then God brings it up again. You know, when God repeats himself, that's significant. And I think that this word applies to some other listeners, too, that some of you have not taken advantage of opportunities because you thought you had already taken the course. You thought you already got an A in that course. But in Christ, there's always more. Holy Spirit always wants to tutor us, but in higher levels, there's new devils. And so we need to be more aware of not only what God says, but Satan's strategies. And what I'm getting is that there have been times, and Patty just alluded to this, I would say, there have been times when we have marveled at how we missed something, how we didn't discern it, how it blindsided us, or how we thought we knew about that, and then we found out I didn't know so much about that. And the world is changing so quickly, and the kingdom of Satan is growing in new and different ways, and he's building up toward the end times and the Battle of Armageddon. And, you know, you may look around and not see that much of a satanic army around you, but that just shows how effective he is. That's the proof of it, because you can't believe you're in the end times and also not believe that there isn't a huge satanic army forming, because who's going to fight the Battle of Armageddon? And even if you thought Christ is going to return tonight and you've got pre-trib theology, which I don't anymore, but even if you do and you believe Christ is going to return imminently, you know, like tonight, that would mean with any of the eschatologies, that would mean that the shortest time would be, the longest time would be within 7 years that there'd be a Battle of Armageddon. And what that means is that there are many voices operating right now that you may not be aware of, that there are covens and there are the Illuminati and all kinds of organizations that run this world and are planning this new world order and to usher in the Antichrist that you may not be aware of, but these voices are operating and there are people that are already oppressed with programming and mind control. There are people that are being led by spirit guides and fallen angels and demons and devils, and they may or may not know it, but the devil is busy putting together his side to fight in the battle of Armageddon. They really believe they're going to shoot Jesus out of the sky. Now, what does this have to do with us? We all need to be pressing in to advanced training that God wants to give us. And you know that I don't make any money off the NowFaith.tv training school. But most of you listeners, if you're attending it, you're not sending me a paragraph afterwards. And what I'd like you to do is to attend NowFaith TV. You just go to school, year one, semester one, in the ministry school. Send me that paragraph. Let me respond. I really want to give you a personal response. I really want us to team together, to be there for each other, to pray for each other, okay? And we're going to need each other. We're not going to be able to get through these end times as, you know, rugged individualists with our usual amount of isolation, and I can do it myself, and I can make all my own decisions. We're going to need each other. We need to, and here's the thing that Mark Berkler would say is the glaring omission of this teaching. We need to have spiritual advisors, spiritual friends, when we think we're hearing God's voice, to bounce things off of, to make sure that we are not deceived and we do not wind up in the middle of the great delusions of the end times, okay? We need people. We need each other. We need to help each other to know, are we hearing God's voice? So I hope you'll look at articles on crosswalklife.com about hearing God's voice, on nowfaith.tv about hearing God's voice, and here on Blog Talk Radio about hearing God's voice. And let me know what other teachings you need. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hope you'll call a friend, invite them to join us next week on Crosswalk Talk.
just want you. I just want to live in your presence every day.
I just